Well, before the reading this morning, let me give you a little context of where we are in the Old Testament. So we broke one of the rules of the narrative lectionary. We moved things around a little bit because this text this morning is a great Advent text, and so we moved it back a little bit. Two weeks ago, we were in the book of Ezekiel when the people of Judah were already in captivity in Babylon, but we're backing up now in time to when the northern kingdom is still in place. The southern kingdom, other way around, I'm sorry, southern kingdom is still in place, Judah. The northern kingdom of Israel, though, is under attack by the Assyrians. And the Assyrians are also threatening Judah as well. In that situation, with the northern kingdom under siege by the Assyrians, the prophet Isaiah is bringing a word of hope. I also have to do a little bit of geography now, because who doesn't love geography? They're going to mention three locations in this reading, Zebulun and Naphtali, and then the word Galilee. So those are all areas up in that northern kingdom. And Galilee is probably the familiar term to you. So Jesus is born in Nazareth, or is from Nazareth of Galilee. So that's the connection. Okay. Yeah, hopefully this will make a little more sense. So Isaiah 9, Isaiah is speaking for God and says, "But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, God brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, God will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond Jordan, Galilee of the nations. For the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Word of God, word of life. So we have Isaiah, who in the midst of this turmoil, the midst of the northern kingdom being conquered by the Assyrians, gives them this vision of hope. But this vision of hope that Isaiah gives to his people is also used by the people of Jesus' time, and obviously it's used by us. And so what I want to do this morning is look at this reading through those kind of three perspectives, those three audiences. What did this mean for the original audience that Isaiah wrote to? What did it mean to the people of Jesus' time? And what does it mean for us? So as I said, first we have got to make sure we remember a very important thing about prophets. A prophet is not someone who predicts the future. That's how we often use it in our own kind of parlance, but a biblical prophet does not foretell the future. The biblical prophet merely speaks for God. And so typically when you read through the prophets, you see this little phrase, thus says the Lord. And what's, why it's important to acknowledge that is because this is one of those texts that Christians later on said, oh, you see, they were talking about Jesus, this son who's coming, this child who has been born for us. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but if that's all that it's about, then obviously it meant nothing to the people of Isaiah's day. So let's hold off on that idea that this means Jesus and just ask, what did it mean to the people Isaiah was speaking to? So Isaiah is speaking again in this time of unrest. The mighty Assyrian Empire has already attacked the south, and they're threatening to attack. I can't get my north and south. They've attacked the northern kingdom, and they're threatening to attack the southern kingdom of Judah, where Jerusalem is, where the temple is. And so in the midst of that fearful time, Isaiah brings a word of hope. In the midst of this darkness, God will bring light. And he makes it concrete because the way that God is going to work this new light, this new change, is from a child who has been born, a child who has been given, a child who will be, you know, the Prince of Peace and bring endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. Now, we can't be positive about this, but biblical scholars think that Isaiah was probably talking about Hezekiah, who had been born now and would become the king when he got older. So he's saying that even though the current king has failed and things look very bleak, God has raised up someone new. And that person will restore the kingdom of Israel again, will run the Assyrians out of here, and will have peace and prosperity and righteousness and justice. That's the word of hope that Isaiah brings to his people. Now, to look at it through the eyes of the people in Jesus' time, it's easy to see how the early Christians, especially the gospel writers, could think back to hear, read this in their sacred scripture and say, oh my gosh, that's Jesus they're talking about. A child who has been born for us, a son given to us. I mean, Matthew and Luke, both have these birth stories of Jesus. And so the people of Jesus' time, the biblical writers, hearken back to this part of their sacred scripture and say that not only did this have meaning for the people of Isaiah's time, but it has meaning for us as well. And again, that's why I wanted to point out those geographical terms of Naphtali and Zebulun up in the region of Galilee where Jesus is from. So in this reading, it refers to where Jesus comes from. It talks about this child who's going to be born. And again, all those wonderful titles of Mighty Counselor, Prince of Peace, the one who's going to come and establish justice. And again, the importance of that, the reason the people of Jesus' time needed to hear that, it wasn't the Assyrians anymore, now it was the Romans. And so you see, there's a lot of parallels here. It was 700 years between Isaiah and Jesus, and they're different empires. It's the Assyrians and now the Romans, but it's the same situation. A time of deep darkness. A time when it seems like there is no hope. There's no way little bitty Israel or little bitty Judah could conquer the Assyrians or the Romans. God can do it. And so God is giving a son, a child, who's going to grow up and be able to return the kingdom of David back to what it was in its glory days. It's about hope in the midst of a time of darkness and despair. So now we move forward 2,000 years to our time, and we read this piece of scripture from 2,700 years ago, if my math is right. What does it mean to us? Well, our country, at least, is not in danger of being threatened by a foreign empire, though I'm sure other Christians around the world who read this might have that sense in their country. But even though we're not under that kind of threat, there's plenty of threats out there, aren't there? Global warming, political unrest, deep polarized division among members of our society, disparity of wealth, increasing poverty and homelessness. I could go on and on. Many people, I'm sure many of us in this room at times, feel like we are living in a time of deep darkness. And we wonder where a light is going to come from. So we too are people who are looking and waiting and hoping that God may come and do something. And that's why this is such a great Advent text, because Advent is about looking and waiting and hoping. And what we're looking, waiting, and hoping for is exactly what this text talks about. For a child to be born, for a son to be given, one that we can call mighty, a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, someone who will bring endless peace and justice and righteousness. And even though we know that Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, Advent and Christmas, the reason we celebrate these every year is because we just need to have that hope renewed. We ask for Jesus to be born anew, to be born again, to restore this hope, to bring us back to this path that God calls us to, this vision of what God wants our world to be like. But as I read this and thought of it, one question just kept popping up. A question that I wish I could ask the people of Isaiah's time, or as the people I thought of in Jesus' time were those shepherds who came to see Jesus. And that question is, isn't it strange to put so much hope in a baby? In a child? I don't know if I've mentioned this, but I have a granddaughter now. She's a little over a year old now. She's pretty awesome. Some of you got to meet her on Thanksgiving Eve. She's not really a baby anymore. She's a toddler, we discovered. I want you to look at some pictures. I've never done this before, and I might get in trouble, but what the heck. So, what do we got up here, Ed? So there's Cora in the dryer. And this is not a staged picture. This little kid climbs everything. So Steph was in the kitchen doing something, and she looked up, and there is Cora in the dryer. Okay, next picture. Oh, there's Cora and her grandfather in our living room doing who knows what. And then another picture. I know. And that's Cora and her dad, my son Joel. I wanted you to see the pictures, well, for many reasons, but the primary reason for the sermon is I want you to notice how small she is. I picked pictures that always put her in perspective. I would not fit in a dryer. She's like 26, or I don't know how, I'm not sure how tall she is. I think around 26, 27 inches. I know she's around 22 pounds because we had to do the car seat thing. And while she is absolutely amazing, like the ability to climb into a dryer by herself, I don't know how much good she would do in the face of an invading empire. I mean, I've seen her throw things, but there is no consistency or accuracy. So I wonder what the people in Isaiah's time who were under attack at that moment, or again, what the shepherds who come to see this baby Jesus who are living under the yoke of Roman oppression, what does it mean to people who are in dire situations to be told to put your hope in a baby? What good is a baby in the face of a foreign empire? What good is a baby in the face of climate change and political unrest and wealth disparity and a divided society? Cora's pretty amazing, but I don't expect her to do much on any of those fronts for a while. You see, I think there's something about children and about babies. I think somehow they embody hope. Children are signs of potential and possibilities. I have no idea what Cora is going to grow up and be, or even what she's going to grow up and be like. But right now, the possibilities are endless. Her potential is unlimited. Who knows how God is going to use her and every other child in this room and around the world? I think children also embody some of those virtues that we have a harder time coming by as we get older. Things like absolute trust. Can't tell you how many times Cora would leap out of your arms to get into the arms of the person next to her. Trusting completely that Grandpa is going to catch her, or Mom is going to grab her, or Joel will be able to get her before she hits the ground. Things like unconditional love. There is nothing like being hugged by a child. A child who doesn't care in the least what mistakes you've made, what weaknesses you have. It's just pure love. And I think that's why Jesus gathers children around him and says things like, you must become like a child if you're going to enter the kingdom of God, or don't you dare keep the children away from me, let them come, because to such as these belong the kingdom of God. And even Isaiah, a few chapters later, goes to this theme of children again. It says, the wolf shall lie with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the calf, or the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child will lead them. We wait and look and watch and wait in hope to celebrate again the birth of a baby. A special baby, though all babies are quite special, but a baby that grew up and showed us what it meant to love and forgive and be compassionate, to welcome the stranger, to heal those who were ill, to live out in its fullness God's kingdom, even in the midst of this messed up, broken world that we live in. And that, my friends, is probably the light that we're looking for. King Hezekiah didn't straighten everything out. Jesus didn't run the Romans out. Korah is not going to solve climate change and wealth disparity and all those other things. But children remind us that there is hope in the midst of darkness, that God is at work in each and every one of us, that God's vision, though maybe never complete the way we'd like it, is still possible as we live and work together, as God works and lives through us and with us. That's why we're people of hope. And don't ever think that hope isn't powerful. Hope keeps us going. Hope keeps God working through us and in us. Thank you for the ways I see hope and God living in you.